I hope our next guest doesn't do that Wednesday and Thursday night, because he's in charge of the youth of Adelaide in terms of who the Crows recruit. He is the National Recruiting Manager for the Adelaide Crows, Hamish Ogilvie. Hamish, thank you for joining us.
No worries, Kim. G'day, Michelangelo.
Hello, Hamish.
I'm in Melbourne. I can get to the safety hub.
Well, pop down there. The rat's over there now. The borders are opening. The rat's over there every 2 days a week, I think Thursdays and Fridays. Pop out there. We'll get you some high-vis gear.
Might need it.
Yeah.
It's not that dangerous being a recruiting manager at an AFL club, is it, Hamish?
I think it is.
No, not at the Crows, Michelangelo, that's for sure.
Notice he directed that towards you, Mickey boy. Hey, on Wednesday and Thursday, there's going to be some very nervous, apprehensive young men and their families, kids that have dreamt about making a career out of playing sport. We know that's a given. What about for you guys? Because your reputation is on the line. How do you go about it, Hamish? The lads that you will be selecting on Wednesday and Thursday, when did you first start doing your homework on them? How many years back does it go?
Oh, Kim, it's been a tough year, and I feel for the boys, because there'll probably only be 55 picks in this draft, given that everything we've been through over the last few years. So there's going to be some good players who don't get picked. And you know what? In the big scheme of things, that's okay, because you don't have to get picked at 18, 19. We've seen plenty of examples of guys who get picked in their 20s, and that's okay. Not everyone's ready at the same time, and this is going to be a tough draft where there won't be as many picks as in other years. So in this case, we've had to go back to the under-16s a lot more than we normally would, and go back to that vision, because some of the Victorian boys haven't played. Had plenty of vision, obviously, from South Australia and Western Australia over the last 2 years, so it's been a bit easier to evaluate those guys. And the good thing for us is we've had staff in Adelaide who have been able to go to Perth. Phil Harper's been to Perth a number of times for us, so that's been good. We've been reasonably well covered in those two states, whilst we haven't really been able to leave Victoria for most of the year. I got to Adelaide early in the year before we went into lockdown, but so we've sort of managed it that way. It's been different and difficult, and there'll be some boys who miss out, but that's okay. You can get picked next year.
So, Ham, how disadvantaged are those Victorian boys, and how cautious are you as a recruiter, given you haven't seen as much of them? Does that lean you to South Australian WA more?
I think it's evened itself out a bit more this year, Kim, than last year, because this group of Victorian boys were pretty good at 16. It was a pretty good group, both country and metro. And the fact that they did get to play some games at the start of the year, you know, we saw some internal trials, and then the first sort of 6 weeks of NAB League, the Vic Country Vic Metro game was probably the best game we saw all year, and then they finished not long after that. So we've seen more of the Victorians this year than last year, so that's probably made it a bit easier. We often have this discussion ourselves. We watch the South Australians that much. We just need to check ourselves sometime and just say, are we marking them too hard, or are we marking them because that's all we can see at the moment? So we've been pretty balanced with that. I think in the end, it's probably an advantage that you've played footy. And from a health and wellbeing point of view, the SA boys have been out there with their mates running around pretty much every week, which has been good. And they got to play three state games, even though it wasn't a proper national carnival.
Hamish, let's play hypothetical. Had North Melbourne accepted your offer and you had draft pick number one, would you be going to the table calling Nick Dacos and watch Collingwood hand over all its chips, or would you just gone direct to Jason Horne-Francis?
We don't really deal in hypotheticals in our world, Roach, but what I would say that if Nick's there at our pick, we'd be highly likely to call him out now because we rate him highly, and he's in our order, and we've interviewed him because we have a policy we won't bid on a player if we haven't interviewed them. So we've spoken to Nick a few times during the year. So what I will say is if it gets to our pick and he's still there, we're pretty comfortable to call his name out because he's probably the best player at that pick.
Wow.
Rich mentioned Jason Horne-Francis. This isn't a hypothetical. Is there any way that a deal could still be done?
Oh, it'd be unlikely.
Unlikely.
I think now, Kim, North owned the pick. We had a try. We respect their response. No, but it's probably unlikely now.
Have you dealt with David Noble at all with this, or do you go bypass him?
I've dealt with him for the last 20 years, Kim. look, Justin does that with the North Melbourne list management guys. They've had very open and honest discussions. We've always worked well with Brady Rawlings and the guys at North Melbourne. So, Nobes was out of that.
We know you can't give a lot away, but we've been having a chat to a lot of the young draft hopefuls over the last, 6 weeks or so. And, we've been impressed with the way they handle themselves. Really like young Matthew Roberts. Love the way he goes about it on the field. And Arlo Draper as well. They got a little bit of spunk, these boys.
Yeah, well, there might be something down at Panther Park at Noarlunga. They're pretty confident, the South Adelaide boys. And we've spoken to all those boys. They're really good lads. Gibbsy's done a great job with the boys down there. It was a really good initiative by South when Bryce went down there for him to work with their best sort of 10 or 12 players. So we've been in contact with Bryce during the year. I've discussed how the boys are going with him. And they're doing a lot right down there. There's a lot of good kids coming through at South Adelaide now, so it's been really positive.
So, Hamish, give us an insight as to how you approach draft pick number 4, which, if there's then these father-sons and academy picks, could blow out to pick 6. How do you deal with that? How do you have your plans for what you're going to do with that draft pick number 4?
It's probably not too bad up there, Rich, because we roughly know where those bids are going to come. So it's just we slide back and we factor those two boys in. What we try and do is just stay true to our order, and we'll put Darcy and Dacos in our order. And if it gets to our pick, you know, if we think that's the right thing to do, we'll bid. But it doesn't affect us that much in this draft up the top. Where it gets a bit tricky is where a lot of the father sons and NGA players are sort of through the 20s through to the 40s. That's where it gets a little bit tricky and hard to plan for.
So the question of what player fits Adelaide at pick number 4, how do you answer that one?
Oh, the best player available at that pick.
Regardless of position?
We'll take the best player available. It's an interesting one. If Sam Darcy was in the open draft and we drafted Thilthorpe last year, how would that look? That's something we've pondered. I'm glad I haven't had to make that decision, but those two boys would be pretty good in the forward line together, I reckon, for a decade, but that, we're not going to have to worry about that. But so it's best available, and then we'll try and balance off the draft with our second and third picks. Again, you can't get too fixed into what player that might be, because I suspect there'll be some trading. So the picks go up and go down, and those Collingwood picks have got to go out. There's some other picks that will disappear when bids are matched. So it's really difficult to get locked into a player. You've got to prepare for, you know, 3 or 4 different scenarios probably at each pick. You know, as I said before, it's not like the old days where we used to just tick them off, take the next one, take the next one. Now you've got to prepare if X happens, we're going to do Y and Z, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a bit more complicated and not as easy as it was in the past.
Hamish, respectfully, is that just the standard company line that will pick the best player that every club says? Surely if you need a small forward
really.
Or... Yeah, go on.
I think we've changed a bit over the years, Kim. We used to be really best available all the way through. Mm. And I think given we've been to 3 drafts and added some young talent, we've got, you know, around half our list is sort of under 22. But with a high pick where ours is, we need to take the best available, and we'll certainly try and balance it off a bit more with our next 2 picks. We'll look at needs a little bit more. So that's, you know, probably when I started with Matty, we just used to go best available all the way through, and then we'd balance it off, work out a way to balance it off later. But now we're probably a bit more open to more specific types bit later on.
And when you say Matty, you're referring to Matty Rendell, who's a friend of the show.
Yep.
We get him on regularly. Good fella, the big fella. I've had an absolute break.
Hey, Hamish, just quickly on what's very different in this draft pool. How do you ask the question about a player, will he or will he not be vaccinated?
Mm-hmm. Good question, Roach. We've got notification from the AFL Friday, I think it was. I've got something there that at this stage, no player in the draft pool is unvaccinated or has told the AFL, I'd better get the wording on that right, told the AFL that they're unvaccinated and won't be available to be drafted. So we've not been made aware of any player that's unvaccinated in the draft.
Now, Haim, this one has always interests me. I've collected my thoughts now. I forgot for a second. How much consultation do you have with Matty Nicks when it comes to recruitments? How much say does the coach have?
He asks a lot of questions and we discuss a lot. He doesn't tell us who he wants to pick, but Nixie's good at what he watches some vision. So we give him some bunches of players to watch and he comes back with an opinion, as with the other assistant coaches. So, for example, if there's a forward there that we like, we'll get James Raleigh's opinion. And then we presented to the coaches last week and we have a discussion. They ask some questions. Well, I've got this guy ahead of this guy. This is what I saw. Oh, that's good. That reaffirms what we thought. So they're involved, but at no stage, I don't think I've ever had a coach at the Crows who's told us who we would like to pick. So we do the recruiting and they do the coaching.
So when you get around that table and there's mixed opinions, who has the final say, Hamish?
On the selection, I have the final say. Yep. On the trade or a trade on the night, Justin has the final say.
How does that work as a recruiting manager? Because you're busting to get early picks. You just want to have a chance to pick a player. And all of a sudden, you might find a draft pick's been traded on. You're going to have to wait a year to use it.
When Jordan Dawson comes into the club, I can understand why we gave away some picks to get him. So, we work together. I mean, it's ongoing discussion. It's done at risk management every fortnight, every month. So, as you become more experienced, you get through that. And, you know, it's about the big picture and the total end result. So, Dawson comes in, Murray comes in, SSP, Parnell comes in mid-season, plus what we add in the draft here. It's the net result. So, I mean... Well, I had a year with Matty. I think Brodie Smith, the year we picked Brodie Smith, I'd been working in Victoria, didn't have a pick in the whole draft. So, I mean, as time goes by, you work out what's best for the club. And we try and do it in totality, trading picks and drafting players.
You mentioned Jordan Dawson. In regards to what Sydney were asking, I thought he'd won a Brownlow. Is that just part of the game?
Oh, I guess it is. I mean, he's a good player. They valued him high. We valued him too, obviously, because we wanted to get him. So it's all part of it, Kim.
All right. So how's it all unfold from now? We're Monday. It gets underway on Wednesday. What happens? Are you still talking to players, scrambling?
No, not really. No, we're done with players. We don't need to speak to any more players. Tomorrow morning, we just present scenarios to list management. Is the potential for a trade up or a trade back? Sort of two or three scenarios that we're ready there, and then we're pretty much done. We have a rehearsal on Tuesday afternoon just to make sure the AFL systems work. We're in at Marvel again for the first time post-COVID, and just some media things. So we're pretty well set, locked and loaded, but you can't be too set given that there'll probably be a trade or two on the night.
Mm. So, Hamish, what's your read on Adelaide's rebuild? Where do you think you're at?
Well, you know, we're sort of 39, 40 games. I think the next stage is to get our young midfielders kicking it to our young forwards. That's probably the next part. The defence was pretty good last year. But who knows? Like, I'm always the optimist. I think we can spike quick. But, you know, I guess now we've just got to keep getting... Nixie's done a great job getting games into the young blokes. How quick they come along remains to be seen. But I think the logical next stage for us is those mids working with those forwards and building that connection.
Yeah. So... You're going to go heavy draft this time. What do you think the prospect is next year? Is it still needing to go to the draft, or do you need to then be more active on the trade to fill some gaps?
Yeah, I think we've always said probably from next year onwards we can start to look at free agency and trading a bit more. I mean, you'd like to be able to bring a player of Dawson's quality in every year and have your first round pick. That would be a perfect world, but I think this will be three drafts we've gone at pretty heavily, and as I mentioned, bringing Murray, who's already played AFL and Parnell in through the mid-season. There's two more young blokes. So we're probably ready to start looking at that a bit more, Roots, than we have yet.
Hamish, I must ask, because you had such a big influence on getting Hugh Greenwood into the AFL. What was your reaction when you saw him delisted and picked up by North Melbourne?
I did like it, I must admit. I thought that had notes written all over it. I thought it was a good move for North Melbourne, and obviously with the sort of bad news, and we hope Ben Cunnington's fine. That makes perfect sense. Hughie's a pretty good help for Ben Cunnington. I hope Ben's all right. He's a great lad. That made a bit of sense, and I actually spoke to Hughie the other day. I said, I've got a spare room at my place if he needs somewhere to stay. So he's more than welcome. And if anyone can handle that move, it's Hugh. I mean, he's a pro.
He's a ripper.
So what's that do for list management strategies now? Where do you think clubs are? Because we've seen how this delisting and using the rookie list has probably been pushed to the limit. What happens next?
Well, I guess if you do that, you always know the risk. I mean, we've done it before, had players come off the main list and go back onto the rookie list. So I guess you run the risk if you do it. To be honest, if it was up to me, and this is not a club statement, I'd just like it to be one list of 44
well
and everyone's
said.
On the same list.
Well
it would make
said.
Life a lot easier.
Beautiful. We
Thanks,
agree with please. That. Hey, last one, Hamish, before we let you go, we're live and interactive. The text line is 0427 154 166. Text has come through. Would the Crows have a look at Jared Polak in any shape or form?
I don't think that's in our plan of our list build at the moment, no.
There you go. No name attached to that one, but you've answered it beautifully. Hamish, we wish you all the best. Pick well on Wednesday and Thursday.
Thanks, gents. Pleasure.